church. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you decided to be with us here at church today. Ava, what do we got coming up?
You're invited to our annual ice cream social on Wednesday, August 12th. After our 7 p.m. service, you can head right on outside behind the building for an evening of sweet treats and even sweeter fellowship. We'll have free ice cream and a variety of toppings for you to choose from to make your perfect sundae. So invite a friend and come on out and enjoy the evening with us.
So something exciting to tell you about church. We're doing for the second year in a row, 7 days of prayer this summer. So what does that mean? It's simply this, from August 9th through the 15th, we are gonna come together as a church and pray first in all we do. Sunday morning, we're gonna do it during our 10 a.m. service. And then Monday through Saturday, we're gonna meet at 6 a.m. right here in the sanctuary and pray together. But here's specifically what we're praying over. Everybody knows someone who is lost and needs Jesus. So we are gonna make a list and pray over the people that need Jesus and pray that God allows us to be a voice in their life to share the gospel. So I encourage you, put it on your calendars this summer, 7 days of prayer.
Hey everyone, I'm excited to invite all of you to one of our favorite events of the entire year. That is Family Sunday in Aqua Grande. They will take place on Sunday, August the 2nd, during our 10 a.m. service. We'll have kids, youth, adults, all together for a message brought to you by Pastor Randy. They'll have something for everyone. We will follow that with kids' baptisms, free food and drinks, and some items for purchase, and then we get to the water fun. 20 acres will be an amazing day. We're so excited to spend it together with you. We hope to see you there.
An invite card could change someone's life. Here at Align Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby for you to grab, and they serve as a really easy way for you to invite someone who you may or may not know to come to church with you. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And if you have questions about groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of the information there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ava and Caleb, for keeping us up on the newest information at the church. If you do not have planning a Church Center app, you need Church Center app. It will give you every detail of every event happening at our church. Amen. It's an amazing thing. However, that's not my announcement. I'm supposed to talk about the 7 days of prayer. I know Ashley gave you the gist of it, but as a pastor, I want to give you the importance of why we are doing this. First of all, in September, we're going to have an amazing series called The Comeback. Now, there's a reason for this, because September is National Comeback to Church Month in our nation. So we're spinning off of Comeback that's already going to be all over America, church-wide, come back to church, and we're going to do a series on the Great Comeback. But on the 20th of September, we're going to have a service specifically centered around the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Something all of you know, something all of you have heard, but we're going to ask that you invite people to church. Now, some of you, I don't have it in this Bible. It's in my other Bible. I have a little card that has 10 people's salvation that I'm believing for. And then on the back side of this card are 5 scriptures that I pray over these people. Okay, I'm asking you, we're going to pass those out soon. And when we do, I'm asking you to fill your card. Now, if these are the same 10 as you had last year and you already invited in, then you got to start a new card and invite those 10 plus 10 new ones. Because if those 10 turned you down to come, there are 10 more waiting to say yes to come back to church. Amen. And this is one of those services that I talk about in our new membership group where I say one of the hardest things I'm going to ask you to do is that you have to invite someone to church. Why? Because you're all here because somebody invited you to know Christ. Whether a pastor gave you an invitation, whether your mother and father told you you had to go, that's how some of us were invited to church. You were invited by someone. So we don't believe in the gospel only for us in our church. And once we find him, we stop. We believe in sharing the gospel with others. Amen. So that little square card on your seat is so you can invite somebody. But I'm specifically asking you on September 20th, that you invite somebody. And then through that first week of August, from the 9th to the 15th, we are praying and fasting every morning at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. I know that's early, but we're doing it different than the 21 days of prayer, because there's people that say, I can't come at 7 at night. I can't come that late in the evening, but you can come at 6 in the morning before your work. So we're going to meet you here every day for a week at 6 a.m. in the morning, and we're going to pray together. Amen? All right, church. Well, let's pray before we get into the word, because we don't want to do anything without inviting him in first. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would move through me, Father, today. Father, let your anointing come out of my mouth and destroy the yoke in people's lives in the name of Jesus. Father, let the word change and break up the fallow ground, the hardness of their hearts, the hardness of things they've thought before. Father, let the word go forth and break up those places, Father, that their hearts would become soft and pliable to apply the word of God that we hear today to their lives, and that it would be life-changing for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we're going to dive into scripture today, and we are learning about King David. We started a series about King David, but this week we're specifically talking about the temptation part of David's life and what that looked like. But I want to give you a little bit of a precedent about King David, because before King David was King Saul. King Saul was a king that the people of Israel chose. It was not God's choice. It was the people's choice. Now you know why you shouldn't go to the People's Choice Awards. No. I'm kidding. I'm not even a drummer and I could have played that. That just came to me. Anyways, God said, I'm looking for someone different, because King Saul ended up being very disobedient and not following in God's will for the children of Israel. So God said, I'm going to pick the next one, and I'm going to pick King David, because he's a man after my own heart. So keep that in mind as we're doing what we're doing today. Being a man or a woman after God's heart means that you are aligned with God's will. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you want the same thing in your life and others' lives as God wants for you and for others. Nowhere did it say that you had to be perfect. However, we know that holiness is the standard of who God is. Therefore, we're striving with the work of the Spirit to remain holy and live our lives sanctified before Him. Amen? Okay. David was loved by the people. He was loved. He was the one that took down the giants that had come, specifically Goliath. But it said that he took others down after Goliath. He had brothers. Goliath had brothers, and David took them down. So the people felt safe in David's care. Let's mind you that David won victory after victory in the battle. Because once you took the giants down, they were just regular people. But God's will was that the Israelites would prosper and be victorious. And so God honored his word through David. David had been tempted many times in his life before the one we're going to talk about today. He was tempted when King Saul was still on the throne. David had been anointed king. David had been told he was going to be the king. David had already killed Goliath, and yet he is coming upon Saul, who's chasing David. But David sees Saul and can take his life right there, but he resists temptation to take the throne the wrong way, because he wants to align himself with God's will. How many of you have been impatient about something that God's already spoke to you? And you just think, if I could just step in and just take it real quick. I don't want anything that God didn't give me, because if I can take it or man can give it, then it can be taken away. But if God gives it, there is no man that can take what God gives away. Amen? Only God himself can. So David's been tempted before, and he's come out on the other side. He was tempted to wear an armor that didn't fit him. An armor for what? An armor that guaranteed he would not be killed. And when David's hanging in King Saul's armor, which King Saul was much taller, we believe, than David was. He was short, squatty, little redhead guy. I'm sure the armor was hanging all over him, just like the cartoons were. He's like, bro, I can't wear this. This is not me. This is not what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go fight him with this, and pulls out his sling. What was that? A temptation to do it in man's way, which was King Saul's way, versus let it be the Spirit of the Lord that delivers you from the hand of the giant. So temptation is not new to David, but this story is the first we see where David falls. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 11:1. And as you know, I am a woman that loves the scripture. So if you don't have your Bibles, you can keep track on the screen. But if you do, get ready. All right. And you're going to need to keep your fingers here in Samuel because we're going to be flipping back and forth. All right. 11:1. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out to the king with the king's men and the whole Israelite army, and they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. What in the world was David thinking that he would not be out where kings are supposed to be? So we see something is immediately off with David, because David normally would be out at battle. Yet here he is sitting at home in the palace, not fulfilling the purpose of God in his life. If God chose him to be king, then he should be doing kingly duties. If God chose you to do something, then you should be doing what God chose you to do. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, then that is what you're supposed to figure out until you know what to do. That's a full-time job right there. All of your prayer, all of your seeking, all of your reading is about, God, what do you want for me to do in this life? Because this life is short and but a vapor. And I know that when I get to heaven, you're going to ask me what I did with what you asked me to do. And I'm going to give an account for that. David wasn't about his kingly duties. Let's read in verse 2. It says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. This woman was very beautiful. When he saw her. Now, I just want to state something for Bathsheba's case here. We all know the story. This is a woman. She's bathing. But I just want you to know that she was not bathing to be seen by David. She was actually bathing after her monthly cycle, which was a Jewish custom that had to be done in honor of God. This was a woman of God that was bathing. It didn't say that she was singing loudly, David, look at me. Sometimes it's portrayed that way. David was up higher. So he was looking down and saw a woman simply doing a ritual that had come normal to her to worship and honor her God, because this was a part of the custom. But something happened, see, when David began to look at her. If you were here on Wednesday, Pastor Randy talked about the eye. In Matthew 6, that talks about the eye is a lamp unto the body, meaning that it's a light. And if the lamp takes on light, then there's light to the entire body. But if the eye would become dark, or look on things that are dark, or things that are sinful, things that are lustful, then the whole body is filled with darkness. And that what you and I look at matters. But I don't think that David glanced on her and turned away. It said he looked upon her, he saw her. I think David's eyes began to linger a little long. Because after he looked on her, he said, and she was beautiful. Now, I'm just telling you, all of us should take note of that, that when you see evil, the Bible tells us that we are to abhor evil. We are to hate evil. Why are we looking at evil? Why are you looking at something that will keep you where you don't want to be? Because this is the state that David fell into. But remember this, David first had to be idle in his purpose. That's when the temptation to look a little longer came. Let's keep reading. Let's fix this. Let me say this. Temptation itself is not a sin. Did you hear me? Temptation itself is not the sin. The sin wasn't when Bathsheba was bathing. The sin was when David looked on her and lusted after her, and it gave birth to a different desire. The temptation, had David just turned away and went back into his castle and ate bonbons, it would all have been different. But it wasn't. So let me prove this to you in Luke, the fourth chapter. Go with me to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, for those of you who are new to your Bible. 4:1-2. Here's what it says. It said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Someone say, by the devil.
By the devil.
He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now, this tells us right here that Jesus himself was tempted. But if you turn yourself over to Hebrews 4:5, I told you, you're going to be turning. Hebrews 4:15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Talking about Jesus. I know that because of the verse before. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now, the Bible tells us that he was tempted by the devil. Know what it did not say. He was not tempted by God. Some of us believe that we are drawn into the wilderness to be tempted by God. That's not true. Tempting is to cause you to morally fail. God's never tempting you to morally fail. However, in every temptation of the devil, there is a testing of God. In every temptation, God will use what the devil meant to fail you, to kill you, to trap you, to train you into believing this is right. God will use that to test your character and your faith and your heart and to take notice of where you are. Why? Because if he doesn't test where you are, how will he know what you need? He's testing what you have inside of you to see if it can be broke when the enemy comes to tempt you, to break you, and get you to fail. God wants you to succeed through the temptation. So remember, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. Led him there. Why? He knew the enemy was going to tempt him. He knew he was. But because Jesus was the Son of God, he did not fail. And because he did not fail, now you and I have been bought with that same price, that our righteousness is not our own, but because of Christ is who we are. Amen. So temptation does not come from God, and Jesus is the one who took care of it for us. Amen. Now let's go back to Samuel, 11th chapter. We're going to keep going right through our story. From the roof, he saw the woman bathing, and the woman was beautiful. Okay, here's the word, and David sent someone to find out about her. I keep hearing these words through this whole scripture text. And then. Then he did this. And he did this. Then he did that. And he did this. I'm bringing that to a point for a reason. It said, then he inquired about her. How many of you have asked Google about a product that you're interested in? Maybe an ad comes across Facebook. This stuff that'll take your bags away in 60 seconds. Right? How many? Oh, come on. Every woman in here knows it. Or the tool that fixes everything. My latest buy was this concrete leveler. Mm-hmm. My dad used to have this thing for As Seen on TV. He would buy it. And he would buy my mom and I these gifts, and they were horrendous, weren't they, Mom? They never worked out like they said. Never. But Dad thought they were the greatest thing since candy. I'm not kidding you. I have this thing, okay? So I have a hole in my concrete. And every time it rains, it puddles right in the corner and it's going like a little tunnel like this. And it's going somewhere, but I don't know where it's going. It's going under my driveway. It's going to create a sinkhole like California is my greatest fear, right? So I see, Facebook must have heard me. They gave me an ad for this leveling concrete that you pour in the hole. And then it looks really pretty. So I went on and I looked at it. I just looked. But before I knew it, there was a link. And then I was looking at the link. But then it was, if you buy one, you get two free. So I'm like, well, I don't know how big the hole is. Maybe I should get the free ones. Plus shipping, of course. Well, then I got the tremendous idea. I'm going to go on Amazon and look for them there. Of course Amazon has everything, right? I love Amazon, just being real. Before I knew it, here I am buying leveler for the concrete. And it comes, and then I'm telling Randy about it. Randy, I saw this new product. I sent him the message. I sent him the whole Insta reel about it. I'm like, look at this. I think we could put this where that little piece of foam has come out. Or I think I could have took Silly Putty and just put it in and it'd been fine. But I had to have this concrete leveler. Well, we're three bags in and it still ain't done the job. So now they've got me for probably three more. Here's my point. I didn't set out to buy that. What I started to inquire about, I began to want. I began to desire. It began to draw me in. If you have a problem paying your rent and you think that you have $50 and that's not enough to pay it, so maybe you should go to the local slot machine, and you find yourself Googling where is the nearest slot machine, and then it gives you the nearest casino plus a room rate that's discounted and you could get it for $49.99. Trust me, that penny's not going to make it work. But once you start to inquire about something, you're on a slippery slope. Yep. You're going to buy that concrete leveler. When honestly, all I really needed was to probably just get a bag of ready mix, put it in a big icing bag, and shove it in the hole. I'm being real. This is my plan for the next time if it needs it. I'm trying to show you that yet another chance David had to stop, and he didn't. He went one step further. First, the look came, and he looked a little too long. And then he wanted to know who she was. So he inquired about what he shouldn't have been looking at. Right. One step further. And he could have stopped and turned around and backed out of the sinful behavior that he had already started. But how many of you know sin keeps you longer than you want to stay? It makes you pay more than you want to pay. That's what sin does. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Some of yours say, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. That just simply means we all have the same temptations. That's it. All there is to it. I can remember going to my mom when I was younger, and I told her something I did. And I said, Mom, are you disappointed in me? And she said, no. She said, you finally just came out of a little girl stage and walked into womanhood. And I'm like, what? You mean this is how women think? She said, yeah, all the time. Like she was telling me, like, there's nothing known unto you that I haven't faced already. I'm the same woman. I'm a human. I've been tempted with the same things you're tempted with. Step up, step over it, and get out of the muck and mire. You're more than that. And so I believed her, and I stepped up and stepped out of it. But here's what it says. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation. Now, did it say he brought the temptation? It said he won't allow the temptation. That means God does allow you to be tempted by the devil. I'm going to be honest with you. God, who's sovereign of all this earth, could stop all of it from happening, yet he doesn't. Why? It's making you. It's telling you where you're weak. It's showing you where you're failing. But what he did was tell you, I won't allow more than you can bear. That's huge. What a good father. What a good father. He's like, I know what your breaking point is. So I'm not going to allow it to go there. Trust me, you have what it takes to get through the temptation. It says, when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. So in other words, he's not going to stop the temptation from coming, but it's not going to be something you can't stand. You have the power because Christ is within you to stand through the temptation, but he's also going to give you a way out. If you can see the way out. David was struggling seeing his way out. I'm just going to be honest with you. David's like, well, let's inquire about it. Let's just look into this a little bit longer. So I'm telling you that every single time you're tempted, you have the ability to get through it. You have the ability to resist the devil and he will flee. That's what James says. Resist him and he will run, is what the Bible says. But you have to resist the devil. You can't just let it happen like David did. It's what he's doing. So let's go back to our scripture. Here's what it says. Go back to Samuel. We're going to go past the third cert. And it says, he sent someone out to find out about her. The man said she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David, he's still not done. Then David, he does this. He sends messengers to get her. To get her, to take her, some of your Bibles say. She came to him and he slept with her. Now, this is in parentheses, she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. This is how I knew that Bathsheba wasn't out there waving her body around towards King David. And then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. Now, David was given a way out. When the men came back to him and said, King, this is Bathsheba. She's married to the Hittite over here, Uriah, and she's off limits, bro. Like, you can't have that pretty one. Take someone else. Who else you want to single? Take them. Whatever it is, but you can't have her. She's married. David says, nah, go get her. He stepped over the moral line of God. He stepped over, thou shalt not commit adultery, which David knew, the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament. This is Old Testament. He knew exactly what God had required. He chose on purpose to step over a moral line and to take sin yet a step further. Why? He wasn't about his purpose or God's purpose in his life. He was about his own. His own purpose. Have you and I become about our own purpose and become idle in the things of God that temptation could come knock on your door? Because this wasn't a year into David's life with Christ. This wasn't 2 years into life with Christ. Some of you are looking at me going, Pastor Nicole, you know, you could preach on something other than an elementary David series. Let me tell you something. David wasn't elementary. He was a king. He had been serving God for his whole life, dedicated, given his life, killed the giant, raised up a nation, doing all the right things. Yet he fell to the simple temptation of a woman. You and I, we are not free from falling to anything, anywhere, at any time. And if you think you are, then you are proof that you are idle and you are thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. And the enemy is lurking in the nearest corner, waiting to catch you to fall. But those who are alert, I learned this from Oprah Winfrey, and I'm not an Oprah fan. But I'll tell you what, I learned that the woman with her key in her hand, walking out of that grocery store with a plan to poke you in the eyeball if you try to take her down, is a woman that's going to get free of a man trying to take her. But the one without a plan, who doesn't have her keys in her hand, who doesn't think there's an enemy prowling, the one who thinks that she's safe because she goes to the grocery store the same time, the same day, the same way, every single time, and it's never happened before, so I'm never going to be at risk. Those are the ones that are taken. Church, that is us. Those who are thinking, I've been a Christian so long, I'm just beyond that temptation. Go ahead, it doesn't matter. You're closer to falling than you even think. Let it be said. I hate that for you. He chose to give into a carnal desire. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:18 says that we are to flee from sexual immorality. The same word, the word flee. It shows up everywhere. Resist the devil and he will flee. He will run. That we are to flee, run from sexual immorality. Run from it. That means some of you dating, some of you teenagers out there, some of you young men and women that you haven't tied the knot yet. If I see you run out of your car in your church parking lot, I'm going to... Because you're fleeing immorality. Good for you. Don't sit in that car if you know it's going to bring you into temptation. Why are you going on dates alone if you're concerned that you can't keep your belt buckle locked? And if you don't wear a belt buckle, then you're snapped. Whatever it is these days. I'm in elastic pants. Don't shame me. Don't you shame me. It looks like there's a nice little button, and there is, but it's elastic. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It feels much better when you go to Al Alteca after church and you don't have to undo your button under your shirt because you know you all do. You walk out of that place like, oh, I had too many chips and salsa. I feel it. David is toast after this moment. He's absolutely toasted. He is proof. There's proof inside of Bathsheba of what he's done. But he doesn't stop there. David goes a step further. Now David is aware that he has done wrong. He's not just done wrong. Now he's trying to cover his wrong. So he's pulling in all stops. He's like, go get Joab. Tell Joab to pull in Uriah the Hittite and bring him to me. Why? You going to kill him? No, I read the story. Listen, this is in the Bible. This is better than any book you could ever read. This is real life action. I mean, you've got a guy practically kidnapping a woman because he's the king. She's like, I gotta go. And then he ends up sleeping with her, gets her pregnant. Now he's going after her husband because he's trying to cover up what he's done. So he's a military guy and they've been out at war. So David knows that if she's pregnant now, everyone's going to put the timeline together. And he's going to know that this isn't Uriah's baby. This is someone else's. And then she's going to start singing like a canary and saying that it was the king, he brought me in, and it's his baby. Yeah. Like, you're talking all out onslaught right here. So read verse 11. This is what David decides to do. He brings Uriah in from the field, and he tells him that he wants him to go home, wash his feet, and spend time at home. Now that's code for what you're about to hear. Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents out there. And my commander Joab and my Lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, king, I will not do such a thing. What an admirable man. He's like, you don't understand. You're telling me that I should relax, eat, wash my feet, have conjugal visits with my wife, and do all this while my men are out there suffering? While they're fighting and holding the enemy at bay? No, that's not who I am. You got the wrong guy. So David goes a step further. David gets him drunk. Makes him stay another day. Gets him drunk. And then sends him out to the battlefield. Now wait, you ready for this? He writes a letter. King David writes a letter and gives it to Joab, the commander. In this letter, it says to Joab, put Uriah on the front line and kill him. He gives it to Uriah to give to Joab. And Uriah don't open the letter. It's probably got a seal on it. You know, that ring, wax, like they tell us all in the movies. He don't open the letter. The audacity. Uriah is holding the very letter that is holding his life in his hand. He's like, here, give this to your commander. This is the man who's after God's own heart. This is the man who killed the giant who was mocking God, who said, you unrighteous beast, I'll kill you. You come at me with the sword. I come at you in the name of the Lord. Yep, same man. Same man. All because pretty little girl comes out. She's bathing. And David just standing out on his roof. Wow. She's pretty. Boys, who's her? Oh, I don't know who she is, David. We'll have to go check, go find out who she is. I got to have that. No, this is what happens in his mind. See, that look gave birth to an unnatural, a natural physical desire, but a spiritual, not good desire in David's heart. And he had to fulfill what was coming because he had already began the process. Church, I'm asking you, where has temptation come in you and I's life that's where we're at? Where has it come? Because David set out as the king, the commandment keeper. In one episode, he's disobeyed over four commandments. Thou shalt not look on a woman, right? Like, look, you shall not commit adultery with another man's wife. He done did that. He should not steal anything. Thou shalt not steal. He done stole her. He went and took her. Listen, this wasn't a thing where you got to choose if you went to the king. If the king came to your house and said he needed to see you, you got your stuff and went to see the king. I don't think they came to her and said, hey, the king wants to have sex with you. That's not the plan. It was come to the house, come. And he did. So he took something that didn't belong to him. Then he commits murder, let alone he did not love God with all of his heart, soul, and mind. Let alone did he love his neighbor. Poor Uriah, he just plain killed him in the front of battle. And thou shalt not murder. He did it all. Four plus commandments he broke. Because of a temptation that came. That there was a way made out. Not once, but twice. Time and time again. God's prepared a way of escape from every temptation you have. Not only did he give you the power to get free, the power to stand in the midst of the trial and the tribulation and the temptation that the devil brings. But he gave you a way out if you'll take the way out. But you got to open your eyes to see that there's a way out. Let's turn to James 1, 13 through 15. Because in preface, this tells everything about sin and temptation that you can deal with. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. We said that earlier, did we not? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own, say their own, evil desire and enticed. Then, there's that then word, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, we learned earlier that when Jesus was tempted, he was tempted by who? This scripture didn't even mention the devil. This scripture said that when you are dragged away by your own evil desire, that tells me that temptation comes from two places. There are two sources. One, it's in you. I'm going to be honest with you. It's in you. It's in you. That means that what's in you might not be in me. And I don't mean that bad. You might have an addiction to gambling. And by the way, when I was writing this message, this kept coming over and over and over. I don't gamble. I've never been tempted to gamble. I don't care about gambling. It doesn't mean I could play a game of 21 at my kitchen table and it wouldn't matter nothing to me, and because it doesn't draw me like that. I believe God's saying there's someone in here today that struggles with gambling. And he's specifically speaking to you because that's not me. David, you have a different temptation system than I do. I'm going to be honest with you. You could parade women around in front of me and I don't care. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every one of us has an evil desire inside of you that is yours. And it doesn't mean that other people don't have that. It means that that's inside of you and it's trying every single day. There is a war within your spirit and there is a war within you and it's trying to drag you into itself. Do you get that? Every day. Tyler, come up here. No matter what you do, come on, quick. Make haste. I know. Okay, look. Now you resist me. Okay, resist me. Okay. This is Tyler, real Christian. And this is the war that's happening. Now, he's trying to be about God's purpose. And God's purpose is that way. It's over by Alicia. Do you see her? You just go, Yeah. Be easy on me, buddy. This is what it looks like. And he's trying to drag him to a different purpose and destiny. Because that's what sin does. And it's coming from within you. There's no outside source dragging you. It's from within you. And he says that when you give it place, listen, it's like, let me just say this. How many of you have had a stray cat? Anybody have a stray cat? I heard this analogy, and there's nothing better than this. If you feed that stray cat has made its home. That cat ain't going nowhere but your home every day at the same time, the same place. Why? Because you fed it. Every impure thought that comes to your door and says it's hungry, you have a chance whether you open up the can and you feed it or you leave the can on the counter and don't give it no worth. So it can't make its house inside of you. Because once you give life to that temptation that was only a thought. Listen, I'm telling you, I watch murder movies all the time. I know it sounds crazy. I like true crime. I don't want no fake crime. I want true crime. And that makes some people scared. I go right to bed after learning they were taking them all the night. Doesn't bother me a bit. I was driving one day and I had a thought. I wonder what it'd be like to kill someone. And I thought, now I've seen this. And you know, some of these people you watch get caught with murder, you think to myself, did you not even watch one crime movie? I knew not to do that. Like, you better tape your hair up, people. You understand. Like, your hair can be left at the scene. I know a lot. But all of a sudden, I thought about all those movies I had been watching, right? And I went, whoa, wait. This ain't my thought. But what I realized was what I had been watching was fueling my thoughts and brought the temptation. What David was watching brought the temptation. And because he was idle and not about the focus of God in his mind, but the focus of an adultery situation in his mind is what led him to make the full-on place. Guys, I'm no different than David. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't watch as many true crime movies any longer. Why? Because that was not my thought. That was not my thought. That was the devil's thought. And he came through what I was watching. I must have been giving too much time to that focus. Church, once you birth it, think of a man and a woman. They come together and they have a seed. And when they do, that seed begins to dictate your very life. When you have a temptation and you fertilize that temptation, now you have something growing inside of you that will bring forth life. And that life inside of you begins to grow. It begins to demand what it wants to eat. It gets to demand how you sleep on your back, on your side with a pillow. Every pregnant woman in here knows what I'm talking about. Why? Because you started fertilizing and growing something inside of you, and it will give birth. The temptation that you fertilize and that you feed will give birth. And ultimately, when it gives birth, it doesn't just give birth to the sinful nature of man, but that sinful nature takes you to your death and lands you in hell. That's a terrible birth because we couldn't say no to one temptation. The Bible tells us It's this simple. Take every thought captive. That thought when I was driving was not my thought. That was a thought of immorality. That was a thought that had I fed, I would be on the news. But I didn't feed it and I didn't murder nobody. So there you go. Thank God, my mom said. Thank God. Church, stand to your feet this morning. If we don't know the word of God, we don't know how to take every thought captive. If you have a thought of worry in your mind, the temptation is that you will turn that worry into anxiety and that you'll be overcome with anxious behavior and thoughts. The response to that worry and that anxiety is simple. The thought comes, what are you going to do about the rent tomorrow? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? This is the answer. I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but I know that God says to cast my care upon him. And that when I do, he's going to carry the weight of it. So I'm not carrying that weight. I also know that the Bible says that if I'm a tither, that he's going to meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That he's going to rebuke the enemy for my sake because I have a generous heart and I do what the word says. He says that if I give unto other people, that it will be given back to me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The word becomes your source. Jesus fought temptation with the word. He didn't go put on his worship music. He didn't go to the gym. He used the word of God to fight and resist the devil and any temptation that he would have from within his own life. Here's what I know. Did Jesus look on a woman and be tempted in the same way that you were? I don't know. But I know that in John, it talks about three types of temptation. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And Jesus was tested and tempted in all those ways. And he succeeded. So I know that we have the same power to do that. Not because we're strong enough. Not because we're smart enough. But because Jesus was enough. Next week, we're going to learn about repentance. Because see, this sinful nature that David walked in led him right to the heart of God. And David did turn his life around, but it took a minute. Here's what I'm going to ask you today. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this house. Maybe you've already given birth to position in your life and you've found yourself in a sinful place. And you're like, I don't know how to get out of this place. I don't even know how I got here, but I'm here now. Here's what I know. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows the inner desires that you've been created with, and he knows your weakness. And I'm giving you the invitation today to simply invite him in to that situation. We've all sinned and fallen short. You needn't be ashamed and say, oh, Pastor Cole, you just don't understand. No, we do understand because we've all been there. We've all fallen short. We've all had that sinful place in our life. But what I want to know is, though he knows you, do you know him? Do you know that he loves you in spite of yourself? Do you know that he's laid his life down for you? If there's anyone here present today that would like to say yes to Jesus, maybe you didn't take communion today because you knew your life wasn't right with Christ. Or maybe you don't even know what this looks like and you're like, I've never been in church. I'm just here with my mom today. If that's you, I'm just asking you to simply raise your hand and say, Pastor Nicole, I'd like to know Jesus. I don't know what that means, but I'm willing to start somewhere today. I want him to come into my life, wash me clean of all of my sin, and start helping me live this life to serve him. I want to know my purpose. Is there anyone that would be bold enough to say that today? Anyone? If you feel a convicting in your heart, a drawing, that's the Lord. That's not anything around you. That's God saying, this is your time. Anyone? Okay. Prayer team, if you saw them, you're out moving about. A couple weeks ago, we had nobody, but there was people in the audience that gave their lives to Christ. Our prayer team's really good about doing that. Keep your hand up if you're out there, though. They'll see you. And then we'll meet you after church. Praise the Lord. Father, we just come before you today. Lord, we thank you for the word of the Lord that went forth. Father, I thank you, Father, that if there's been anything in our lives that we are entertaining, anything in our lives that we are inquiring about, Lord, that you would show us the way of escape this week. God, that your spirit would be with us, convicting and drawing us, God, to this lifestyle that's sanctified, Father, that lives a life that's pleasing to you. Father, we don't want to be idle in our purpose. We want to be about your purpose, and we want to be focused on your plan for our lives. Father, expose these places. Expose these places. Father, you said that you would lead us not into temptation. Father, show us the plan of the devil before it comes, that we could thwart it, that we could go around his plan, add the word and apply it to our situation. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Father, we resist the devil. And we know that he will flee and that there is nothing that we can be tempted with that we cannot stand, and you always make that way of escape. We're counting on it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, prayer team's gonna come down here this morning. If you gave your life to Christ, please come down, make your way down here. We want you to tell them that you did. Or if you still need prayer, that would be great. And then I have one last thing today before we end our service. I'm asking, this little bracelet here, they're orange bracelets, and we've taken every youth in our church and every youth worker that's going to our church camp this week. It's this weekend that we're going to be doing it, and I'm asking all of you as a church to support our youth in our camp. So I'm asking that you come and get a bracelet. There's over 150 some bracelets up here, I think, and there's a name on each one of them. And I'm asking that for this week, you will wear this bracelet and that you will pray that God will meet these kids and these leaders where they are at Pump this weekend, that the Holy Spirit would do a miracle in their life, that maybe you would have a word of knowledge about this child, that you would begin to speak into his or her life or the leader that you have. We only put first names on here, but I'm asking that if you would truly commit to prayer this week for them, that you would come forward and get a bracelet before you leave, okay? In the meantime, church, we will see you on Wednesday night, where Pastor Randy is going to be talking about the ear gate and how to keep your gates free so that God can do what he wants to do. We love you, and we'll see you then.